What did you expect? What did you expect? I want to start by telling you a silly story, but it'll help to make a point. Here goes. A lady goes to the movie theater and ends up sitting behind a man and a dog. To her surprise, during the happy parts of the movie, the dog would wag his tail. When the bad guy was on the screen, the dog would growl. During the sad parts, the dog would whimper. And at the end, when everyone was cheering, the dog did a little circle dance to show his appreciation. Well, the lady said to the man, "That is absolutely amazing." The man said, "I know, because he hated the book." We didn't expect that, did we? But we're going to talk about expectations today. Why? We all know it's important to do good things. And they don't have to be earth-changing events. They can be very simple things like helping someone in need, meeting with the brethren, studying God's word. These are pleasing to the Lord. But there's also something else that's important in our walk: to avoid doing things that are displeasing. And they don't have to be huge earth-changing events. Things like not controlling our anger, jealousy, being judgmental, or saying bad things about others, especially the brethren. So question, what is the root of most anger, frustration, jealousy, and judgment? Now, for those of you who expected me to say the root is having expectations, that's close, but that's not quite it. The root of those issues is having expectations that are not met. Let me give a personal example. For the last couple of years, my workload has increased so much that everything in my life is suffering. My family life, service to the brethren, my health, even the quality of my earthly work has suffered. Now, as a computer programmer, that means I'm having more bugs, which takes even more time to fix, and that puts me even further behind, and this causes me frustration. Well, the problem is, I expected that after finishing that very intense and heavy first month, well, then my workload would decrease. After all, I believed since I had worked so hard, I was entitled to some relaxation. Not vacation. Just get back to the way things were. So I can have time with my family, my brethren. Lessen the physical aches and pains. I don't mind working hard. I just want to do good work and have a balanced life. But not only did the relaxation not come, my workload increased even more. So going back to the first month, sure, it was intense, but I expected, certainly, next month, things are going to slow down and get back to normal. After all, I worked hard. I deserved that. That's what I expected. When my expectation wasn't met, what was my reaction? Well, for that first month, I said, "It's okay. The Lord knows, trust in the Lord. Besides, next month, it will definitely slow down. After all, I worked hard. I deserve that," or so I thought. By the way, let's define the word expectation. It means to be confident something will happen. This is not the same as being hopeful. Having hope means you'd like for it to happen, but you're prepared in case it doesn't. The most common expectations: believing an event will take place, or believing a person or persons will behave in a certain way. An example of having an expectation of an event would be, "I expect to eat dinner tonight." It could be time specific. I expect to eat dinner at 5:30. What about an expectation of human behavior? Well, let's assume we had done some of those good things, those things that are pleasing to the Lord. Let's say we gave someone a ride to the grocery store. We even gave them money to buy groceries. Would we now have an expectation of human behavior? Sure. We expect them to say thank you. Carrying this to an even higher level, we might also expect them to help us if the shoe was on the other foot. But things don't always happen the way we expect them to happen. Sometimes expectations can be a treasure, and sometimes they can be a trap. So what's the difference between an expectation being a treasure or a trap? If our expectation is dependent upon the wisdom, love, and mercy of our Heavenly Father, it's a treasure. James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. So when is it okay to have expectations? When they are dependent on God's precious promises. But if our expectation is dependent upon the abilities and intelligence of an imperfect human being, it's a trap. So when would it not be okay to have expectations? When we would be tempted to sin if those expectations were not met. For example, if the result would lead to anger, being judgmental, evil speaking, or holding a grudge. Why is it a trap? Why would it lead us to commit sin if we have an expectation that is not met? Don't we have more self-control than that? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. So, going back to my experience, I was handling the frustration pretty well in the beginning. In fact, if you had asked me, "So, how good are you at handling stress?" I would have confidently said, "Very good. Thank you for asking." And then if you had asked me, "So, what do you think about brother so-and-so, who always seems a little too quick-tempered and doesn't show the spirit of peace, love, and gentleness? Instead, he shows a lack of patience and is a little too quick to get angry." Well, I'd say he doesn't show much self-control. Shame on him. Now, why would I be willing to say that about this imaginary brother so-and-so? And why would I hold it against him? Because as far as I'm concerned, that's just bad behavior. A person needs to have more self-control than that. I expect much more from that brother. And I believed that if I were in his shoes, I would do a much better job. How many mistakes did I just make? 3. The first was, I had no right to expect or demand anything from that brother. The second mistake was, I had no right to hold anything against him. Instead, it was between him and the Lord. And I don't mean that in a bad way, like the scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay." No, I mean in a good way. In knowing the Lord is working with that brother, and the Lord is perfectly capable of bringing that brother into harmony with his will through patience, love, and mercy. And that's why I really appreciate this verse. Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Turns out, the real reason I would be judging him, even though I may not want to admit it, is because when I can point out someone else's faults, I kind of feel better. After all, that takes the attention off of my failings. It's like me saying, Lord, I know I've been displeasing to you over these last several months, but look at that brother over there. Compared to him, my sins aren't so bad, are they? And that was mistake number 3. Thinking the Lord compares us to one another, and therefore, he would find favor with me. Matthew 7:3. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? I had no right to judge him. Who should I be judging? Right, myself. What I didn't realize was being judgmental towards him was actually tearing down and hurting instead of building up and encouraging. Now, Paul gives us some great advice on this type of scenario. He says in Romans 14:13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. So, going back to the example of my heavy workload, should I expect the Lord to bless me from having gone through so much? I mean, that is how it works, right? Oh, absolutely. But our expectation of being blessed can be very different from our Heavenly Father's. See, if we do things that are pleasing to Him, if we are bearing fruit, do you know what kind of blessing we get? John 15:2. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it bears more fruit. Pruning, brethren, pruning is not pampering. It's painful. It's cutting away. It's stressing because the end result is we bear more fruit. So what blessing will the Lord give me? Pruning. So that the fruit of mercy, humility, sympathy, and while we're at it, even more trust and patience would grow. Question. How does the Lord develop humility in someone? Answer. Let them think a certain way, and then show them just how wrong they are. Question. How does the Lord develop patience in someone? Answer. Have them endure a trial for so long that they eventually stop looking at their watch or asking, are we there yet? Why would the Lord not want me to be judgmental against brother so-and-so? because he wants me to look at things from his point of view, and for me to treat my brethren the way he treats them, with love, mercy, and patience. After all, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Now, to illustrate this, for those of you who've lived in small towns or were near agricultural areas, if you've ever been to a county fair, a lot of them have pie baking contests. How do they judge a pie at the county fair? Well, they take a slice and eat it. They taste it. Well, is that fair? What if they happen to get a bad slice? That doesn't happen. It doesn't matter where you slice into it, every slice will be consistent. But do you know when it would not be fair to judge a pie? Would you judge it when the flour and eggs and water have been mixed in a bowl? No. How about after you add the apple slices? No. How about when the dough crust is placed on top? No, you still can't judge the pie. Okay, well, what if all the ingredients are put together in the pie plate exactly where they need to be? No. It still has to be baked. Okay, how about halfway through the baking cycle, can I take a slice then? No. You cannot judge it until the baker has taken it through the entire process, including the heat of the oven. Sound familiar? Oh, by the way, who gets the credit for winning the first place blue ribbon? Is it the pie? Or is it the one who baked it? In the same way, whose workmanship are we? He is the potter. We are the clay. And we are all at different stages of completion. So, if I were to taste the prize-winning pie at the fair, but I were to taste it before it went into the oven, how would I rate that pie? Probably pretty poorly. I'd think to myself, that's not very good. I'd probably even tell others how bad it was. In fact, I might even tell the other judges, hey, don't even waste your time with that pie over there. I had some and it was lousy. But if I did that, I would be making a huge error. And brethren, in the same way, I would be making a huge error in being judgmental towards someone else before the Lord was finished with him or her. How did I learn this lesson? Well, I got to a point where I was short-tempered, always on edge, impatient. The very things I would have criticized brother so-and-so about. Did the Lord bless me? Oh, absolutely. By allowing me to walk in that brother's shoes, I learned a very valuable lesson. In the same way, this technique of walking in someone else's shoes can help us deal with another type of expectation. We expect to be treated with love and patience by everyone, especially the brethren. But how do we react when someone is mean to us? Notice I didn't say, how does it feel? I asked, how do we react? Because we know how it feels. It hurts. And when does it hurt the most? When it's from someone we're not expecting it to come from. Here's a true story. A sister from another ecclesia came to me one day. She was angry and frustrated. She said a particular elder had just been really rude to her and mean. And she knows she hadn't done anything wrong. And by the way, this wasn't her imagination. He said things to her face. Well, I knew she was being sincere, and I could tell this was really bothering her. So I asked her this question. Is this his normal behavior? She kind of looked and said, well, no. Okay. Has he ever treated you like this before? No. Has he treated others like this before? Well, not that I know of. Well, what does this tell us? We're obviously missing something. It turns out that brother collapsed that day. They dialed 911, and when the doctors saw him at the hospital, they realized two of his medications he was on should not have been used together. Do you know why? Because one of the side effects is they can cause abnormal behavior and reactions, causing the patient to see things that aren't really there, but reacting as if they are. How many times have we thought someone was being mean to us, but we didn't have the whole story? For example, have you ever gone to a convention and someone you thought you were friends with just walks right by you with a scowl on their face, ignoring you? Turns out, they weren't ignoring you. They had a bad meal on the plane and their stomach was really upset. Okay, how about the opposite? Have you ever been the one so deep in thought that you didn't even notice one of the brethren who was trying to greet you? Well, how would you know unless someone tells you afterwards? See, these are examples of misunderstandings. But how do we react when we really are being attacked? It's usually one of two reactions. Reaction number one, we become like a tiger. We attack right back. Now, that's a very common reaction. Even the old law said, an eye for an eye. Of course, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Reaction number two, however, it's the opposite extreme. We become like a turtle that retreats back into its shell, protected so no one can harm us. And we stay there until we think it's safe, no matter how long it takes. Do those two behaviors seem strange? They shouldn't, because that's human nature. Now, along this line, we've heard of the Tiger Act called Siegfried and Roy. Well, 10 years ago, one of them was attacked by one of the tigers during a performance they had done together hundreds of times. Some people said, that's horrible. That animal should be put down. After all, those people took the animal in, fed them, cared for them. Shame on that animal for doing that. Wait a minute. We're talking about a tiger. What do you expect? But they took care of that tiger. It was adopted. It might have died otherwise. Yes, but it's still a tiger. What do you expect? Let's ask this very important question. Whose fault was it that the trainer got hurt? the trainer. He had an expectation of how the animal would react, but he was wrong. The reason it made the news was not because he was attacked. It was because he was severely injured due to not having sufficient protection to keep from getting harmed. Okay, I'm going to give you the name of an occupation. And when I do, I want you to think about what this person looks like. Okay, you ready? Beekeeper. What do they look like? We see the big helmet with the netting and the protective clothing and gloves. Does he or she get attacked on a daily basis? Probably. Do you read about it in the daily paper? No. He knows they're bees. He knows their behavior. That's why he wears protective gear. So how does this apply to us? We get hurt by others because we are expecting one type of behavior and we forget what we're dealing with. We are dealing with fragile, imperfect, sensitive, arrogant, jealous, frustrated, angry, tired, exhausted, chemically imbalanced human beings, and we deal with them every single day. I'll tell you another true story. When I was a police officer, one of our schools was broken into. Now, in the computer room, all the computers were smashed, and bleach from the janitor's closet was poured in them just to make sure they were permanently destroyed. Now, would you say that the one who did this was probably a bad person? Deserves to go to jail. Will probably end up in prison anyway. Well, the one responsible was a 10-year-old juvenile male. At least that's how it was written on the police report. But let's look a little closer at the crime scene. It turns out nothing was stolen. Instead, things that were very valuable to the school were destroyed. Not just broken, damaged beyond repair. Who would do this? What would have to be the mindset of someone who would want to do this? Would you say this was probably a bad kid? What if I told you he came from a very nice home and he had a loving, well-adjusted family? See, he wasn't always a 10-year-old juvenile male. The year before, he was just a 9-year-old boy, someone's son who was very kind, gentle, loving, trusting, and a little bit naive. But during that next year, two pedophiles gained his trust and changed his world. They messed him up mentally and emotionally. He wasn't just broken. In this little boy's mind, he was damaged beyond repair. And he was afraid to tell anyone what had happened to him. So, now that we have all the facts, are we surprised at this little boy's behavior? What did you expect? The pedophiles did get arrested. Turns out one of them kept a detailed diary of all the things they did to that little boy during those 12 or so months. Eventually their case went to court, I don't know if I can accurately express the anger of those people sitting in the courtroom toward the two pedophiles when one of the arresting officers read sections of the diary out loud from the witness stand. Did those people have a right to be angry? General consensus would be, of course. Why? Because we as a society expect better behavior from its members. But those in the courtroom who were angry had also fallen into the expectation trap. Here's what they had missed. Can you guess what had happened to those two pedophile men when they were little boys? That's right. See, the problem with man's society is we don't know how to absolutely prevent bad things from happening to its members. And there's another problem with man's society. When bad things do happen, we are not always able to provide perfect rehabilitation, therapy, and counseling. And because of this, the bad cycle continues from one person to the next, to the next. We can't expect our imperfect society to prevent these things or to cure all of its people. Besides, we know now is not the time for that. Instead, God's plan is for mankind to experience the temporary trauma of sin now, to appreciate the eternal triumph of perfection later. So knowing this, when we see these types of events on the news or read about them in the paper, we shouldn't get angry at the person. Hate the sin, not the sinner. After all, we don't have all the facts that are needed to make any judgment against anybody. I want to say that again. We don't have all the facts that are needed to make any judgment against anybody. If we ever refer to someone else's bad behavior and make the mistake of saying, well, if I had been in their shoes, I never would have done what they did. Actually, we probably would. Because if we had lived their life exactly the same way they did, and had the same experiences, advantages, disadvantages, trials, and temptations, why do we think we would have done anything differently? And if we say, well, because I think differently, We think the way we do because of our experiences, advantages, disadvantages, trials, and temptations. Is there anyone in this room today who can confidently say, well, if I had been in the Garden of Eden, I would never have eaten the forbidden fruit? You really mean, knowing what you know now, you would never have eaten the forbidden fruit. And isn't that the point? And this leads us to an expectation that our Heavenly Father has. He expects that by allowing His human children to have these experiences, advantages, disadvantages, trials, and temptations, and going through 1,000 years of therapy, counseling, and rehabilitation led by Christ, head and body, our Father expects that at the end of that time, those who pass the final test will never, ever sin again. The key to God's perfect plan is that everybody's perfectly developed character won't even desire things that are contrary to God's perfect will. Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And isn't this the most beautiful, perfect, and loving plan that could ever be imagined? Yes. And knowing what we know about the true character of our Heavenly Father, that is exactly what we would expect. May the Lord add His blessing.